We are going to study tonight on the Holy Spirit again. This is lesson number 6, if I've been keeping it right, and I can count sometimes. But we're going to talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit, if we get that far. But there are two things in the Bible that are along these lines. One is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and one is the filling of the Holy Spirit. They're two very different things. All saved people today have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But all saved people do not have the filling of the Holy Spirit. And some saved people have never been filled with the Holy Spirit since the day they were saved, since the day they received Christ as their Savior. So first we're going to have to look at the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This will be a little bit of a review on some of the lessons that we've had and what it is. So we're going to be through the Bible a little bit. Let's have a word of prayer before we get started. Dear Jesus, we just ask as you open up your Holy Scriptures tonight that you'll guide and direct and help us rightly divide the word of truth as we go to the teacher of the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there are several references in the Bible to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're almost going to go through just a few of these. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, I'm just going to read this to you. 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own?" In 2 Timothy 1:14, "The Holy Spirit dwelleth in us," it says. In 1 John 2:27, we're going to look at two or three there in 1 John. So if you want to turn over to 1 John, right back there before Revelation, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. 1 John 2 and 27. First John 2:27. "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you." Now this anointing is talking about the Holy Spirit. "And ye not need not any man teach you, but the same anointing teach you all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as he has taught us, ye shall abide in him." This anointing which ye have received. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him," both together. "And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit," see the capital letters, "which he hath given us." It is a gift. 1 John 4:4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now remember, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are not separating the Trinity. They're all together here. Personal pronouns are used for the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:13. "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit." We'll talk about this a little bit more, but the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for believers is a gift. Several verses here we talked about is given. It is much as a gift as is salvation. Now, The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in non-believers. We've used this verse several times in Romans chapter 8. Now, need to get this in your mind. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in non-believers. In Romans 8, 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. You cannot be saved and not have the Holy Spirit. You cannot have the Holy Spirit without being saved. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit dwelling in believers today. Verse 10, but if Christ be in you, one body, be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. The same Holy Spirit that entered in Christ on the resurrection day is the same Holy Spirit that dwells in the hearts of the believers. It has the same power today as it did then. It is a quickening spirit. It is a quickening means to give life. Born again experience. The Holy Spirit gives life. Now go over to Ephesians. We're going to spend some time in Ephesians tonight. Back and forth in Ephesians. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. We'll talk about this more later on in another lesson. The Holy Spirit dwells in Christians. The Holy Spirit dwells in all Christians, no matter what their spiritual condition is. In Ephesians 4:30, it talks about grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not. And they list all these sins here by how you grieve the Spirit of God. Big old list of sins here in verse 31 and verse 32. We're going to be talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit, not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You can have the Spirit of God dwelling in your life and sin. It will grieve the Spirit. It will affect you. But it will not take your salvation away. It will not take the Holy Spirit away. It says, sealed unto the day of redemption. God's seal cannot be broken by anyone or any means, the devil or anything else. But by the amount of sin in your life is how much the Spirit has control over your life. Thought this thing was going to go off, but thermostats don't always do what they're supposed to do. Okay. How does someone have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them? It's through salvation at the point of salvation. It is a gift. It is a free gift. To be a gift, it has to be free. We read some of those verses earlier. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. 1:13 in Ephesians. It says here, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Now, before we get into this, we've got to figure out who whom is here. So you go back to the previous verse, who first trusted in Christ. So you can say, in Christ, whom ye also trusted. How did they trust? By faith. Ye, being plural, heard the word of truth. The first step is to hear the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. You got to look at the punctuation here. After truth, we have a comma. After the gospel of salvation, we have a colon, which means there's a list of things coming. The word gospel means glad tidings or good news. The gospel of thy salvation. The good news of your salvation. How you receive the truth, you receive the good news of your salvation. How did you receive that? From hearing the words of truth, from hearing the scriptures in Romans chapter 10. We'll go there in just a minute here. I want you to... Now, this is how everyone gets saved. Keep your finger there. Go to Romans chapter 10. We're going to come back to Ephesians chapter 1, but in Romans chapter 10, some of you are very familiar with these verses. Maybe some of you are not. I want you to tie all this together. Precept upon precept, scripture upon scripture, line upon line, as we compare scriptures together. And there are no contradictions in the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, which bring glad tidings of good things." The gospel of your peace, glad tidings. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." They have not all obeyed the glad tidings. They have not all obeyed the good news. "For Elias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And it talks about how it's gone through all the world. Psalms 19 talks about that. Listen. And back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, "In whom ye have trusted, in Christ ye have trusted, after you heard the word of truth," the word of God, as we talked about here in Romans chapter 10, "the gospel of your salvation, the good news of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed." Now, who is whom now? "In whom also, after you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." It changes, doesn't it? In the beginning, the whom is referring to Christ. Here in the beginning of this, the whom is referring to the Holy Spirit of promise. Do you see that? Do you see how it changes? Listen, you see the colon after salvation? "In whom also ye have believed," seeing the comma after that. "Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise," see the comma after that. These commas are put in there for a reason. They group things off. They put things together. This is how you get the Holy Spirit. "In whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed." But we're not separating the Trinity. They believed and put their trust in Christ, and they received the Holy Spirit. They received that part of the Trinity. The same Trinity. The same God. We say, "You ask Jesus in your heart." Well, we say that all the time. But technically, you get the Holy Spirit. But you still get God and the Trinity and the Holy Spirit. It's hard to understand, but I don't know how another way to say it. Okay, this is what you get as a Christian. Paul was writing the church at Ephesus and explaining these things to him as he is today. Ye were sealed, there it is again, with that Holy Spirit of promise. God's seal cannot be broken. The Holy Spirit that was promised, that Jesus said he was going to send, the Holy Spirit of promise, the Spirit that he said it was a promise. And, as you know, the Holy Spirit confirms the promise in the hearts of believers. By His Spirit we cry, Abba, Father. By His Spirit, our spirit talks to God's Spirit, because they're all one and the same. The Holy Spirit of promise is the promise that was going to be sent, as He said in John chapter 17, in John chapter 16, I must go that I can send the Comforter. He promises He's going to send Him. Also, it is a promise that we have salvation because we know that we have the Spirit dwelling. There's an old song we've got on a 33 and a third, one of them big CDs, you know, 33 and a third, one of them vinyls, you know what they're talking about? It says, if God is dead, who is this living in my soul? Now, verse 14, the sentence is still going on, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, this has got a lot in here. You've got to kind of dissect it a little bit to get it here. The earnest of our inheritance. What is earnest? Money which is purchased is given as a pledge or a down payment that the full amount will subsequently be paid. The earnest is more than a down payment. A down payment is to hold something till you come back and finish buying it. But if you don't come back and finish buying it, then you don't get it. You lost your down payment. But earnest money is, I will come back and get it. It is a promise that you will come back and get it, and it is a binding legal promise. Earnest money. I promise I will come back and I will pay you for the rest of it. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. God gave you part of Himself and says, I'm coming back. And to prove I'm coming back, I'm giving you part of myself. And He gave you the Holy Spirit. We have this treasure, it says, I believe in Corinthians, in earthen vessels. Treasure of God, this earthen vessel. It's made out of dirt. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit dwelling in your life, you wouldn't be nothing more than a sack of dirt that's alive. The Holy Spirit gives you an inheritance with God. An earnest of our inheritance. The tester of the will has died. The inheritance is in effect. We just haven't got it yet. And what is our inheritance? Joint heirs with Christ. Everything. 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 All of creation. Joint heirs with Christ. That is your inheritance. Not to mention the glorified bodies that we will receive. Not to mention being able to live in heaven and see God and be able to be with Jesus and all those things. That's That's just a little bit of it. But you see the rest of this verse? You see the rest of this verse here? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What do we say about the indwelling of the Spirit of God? He dwells in you. You are not your own. You belong to Him. You were bought with a price. You are a possession of Jesus. You belong to Jesus. What these hands do is not yours. They belong to Jesus. What goes in these ears is not yours. They belong to Jesus. What you see is not yours. It belongs to Jesus. What comes out of this mouth is not yours. This tongue, this mouth, these teeth, these face, this body, they all belong to Jesus because you are a possession, because you were bought, you were not your own, and you were purchased with the blood of the Son of God. That's who you are. You are a purchased possession. But I sure am glad I got a good boss. Amen. Well, I don't. I want to be free. I want to. No. You're either going to serve God or serve the devil. Read over in the Gospel of John. You're the servant of who you serve. Samson just thought he was free. Okay. The purchased possession, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, though it is set off in commas, the end of verse 13 and the middle of verse 14, the end of the sentence, unto the praise of His glory. All of this is to the praise of the glory of Christ Jesus. All of this brings praises and glory to Christ Jesus because of what He's done, what He's capable of doing, what He has to offer us, what He possesses, what He owns, what He's done. All of it is to the glory of Jesus. Everything here, beginning in verse 13, all the way down to verse 14, the praise of His glory is a conclusion of that whole thought. It's all about that. Remember what they taught you in English? That's what it's talking about here. All of this applies to the praise of His glory, God's glory. If God does not receive the glory, then it's not of Christ. Anything that gives something else the glory is not of God. That's a good test for any doctrine or belief. Does God receive the glory? That is indwelling. Now, filling. We're not going to be able to cover it all, but we'll scratch the surface a little bit here tonight on filling. Two different things. True biblical Christianity is not based on feeling, but fact. Fact. It doesn't matter how strong or what the feelings are. If anything is different from the Word of God, anything, than what the Word of God teaches, then it's wrong. It doesn't matter what you say or what you think or where you put it or how you add it up or what computer you stick it in, or what PhD you got behind your name or in front of your name or whatever, if it's different from the Word of God, then it is wrong. it does not prove the Word of God by such and such and such. No. It's just more information. No one ever gets more saved. All right? You don't get more saved. No one ever gets more of the Holy Ghost after they are saved. What happens is you give more control of your life to God. The filling of the Holy Spirit does not mean that we have more of Him. Rather, it means He has more of us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. All right? No. Ephesians 5, 18. Typo here. Ephesians 5, 18. I knew I was studying on the other side of the page. Ephesians 5, 18. Look at verse 17. That's a good one. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, verse 18. Be ye not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, that's all one sentence there. Verse 18. When someone is under the influence of alcohol or drugs or liquor or whatever it is, when they are under the influence, they are controlled by that. Their walk, how they walk, how they talk, and how they think. You know, they're having all those commercials and they got the guy walking down the line and all those things, you know? A true story about, I think it was a true story. They was doing this sobriety test on this guy and something happened, interrupted the officer, or something else happened and he had to go take care of that. And they told the guy to walk the line and they couldn't find him. He was the block down the road, you know? Still walking the line, you know? Down the middle of the road. They're walking the line. It changes the way you think, act, talk, everything. And a lot of drunks don't think they're drunk. I can drive home. I'm fine. Nothing wrong with me. They don't know they're drunk. Their mind is messed up by the alcohol. That's the way it's supposed to be with the Holy Spirit. He controls the way you walk. He controls the way you talk. He controls the way you think. And you think it's normal. You think it's normal. Because it's normal to be close to God for a Christian. And everybody else is the ones that's crazy. They're off or don't got it, huh? It's not about you. What are the drunks? I can drink a case and a fifth and all that. And all, they're bragging about what they can do, huh? Someone that is filled with the Holy Spirit is not bragging about what they can do. Because it is the glory to Jesus. and not to anyone else. And they are being controlled. But you still know what's going on. Because God doesn't make robots out of these people. But He changes the way you talk and think. I don't know if you noticed this. I'm sure you have. Maybe it's more prevalent because when they find out I'm a pastor, but they'll have a word that'll slip in there or something, you know? Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that, you know, whatever. You know, some word slips in there, you know? Whatever it is, you know? And like, you know, I've heard those things before, but I don't like to hear them. Used to say them. I like to admit it, but they know what's right. And they know what's wrong. Here in verse 19, it tells us what it's like speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. To yourself. Not to somebody else. To yourself. The psalms. Which are also hymns sometimes, and the hymns we sing. And spiritual songs, not worldly stuff. Singing and making melody in your heart, to the Lord. You're happy. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. All things. The good, the bad, all things. And the Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got the Trinity right there. The Spirit, and God, and the Father. In the name of our Lord. Lord means owner, boss, and Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another. Unity in the body of Christ. In the fear of God, out of respect for God, for who He is. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. We talked about this one earlier. 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption. This is the opposite. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even so, God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. See the two opposites there? What keeps you from being filled with the Spirit of God is something else in the life, namely sin. Any sin in your life takes up space where the Holy Spirit should be in your life. In control of your life. You're not getting more Holy Spirit. You're letting Him have more control over you. There's thousands of areas in your life that all input into your life and control how you go. Today's cars have thousands of inputs into the brain, into the computer. From ambient temperature, outside temperature, to water temperature, to fluid temperatures, to air pressures, to air fuel mixtures going in, going out, how fast they're going in, how fast they're going out. Cars, many cars today, they don't have throttle linkage anymore. They don't have a rod that goes from your foot up to the carburetor. They got a wire. Electrical wire. No more cables or linkage. It's electrical wires. All of those things go in to make it go down the road. Your body has all kinds of things going into you that make you go down the road. One of those gets out of kilter. Just one little thing. You got to find it, replace, repair the connections and the grounds. If the voltage is one millivolt off, it messes up the whole system. If you've got one millivolt of a sin in our life, it stops us from being filled by the Spirit of God. When it says God is a jealous God, that means He wants all of you. He wants every bit of your life. He wants all of the controls of your life. And anything that is not of God interferes with that in our lives. That's why there are very few truly filled with the Spirit of God Christians. Now, that's not a reason it can't be done. Hey, I'd a whole lot rather be 95% filled than 80% filled. Just because I can't reach 100% doesn't mean I'm going to quit. Because before you got saved, you were zero. The day you got saved, you were 100%. Everything was cleared out and cleaned up and all brand new. And then we had some thought or something. The purpose of all of this is service and witness for Christ. Whatever happens must give glory to Jesus. If it doesn't give glory to Jesus, God the Father, then it's not of God. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation, see what God has for us here tonight. As He challenges all of us, as the Word of God challenges all of us. You can grieve the Spirit by sin. You can grieve the Spirit by not following His will in your life. You can grieve the Spirit by not letting Him have your life. Talks about quench not the Spirit of God. It's like throwing a wet blanket on it. Dear Jesus, we just ask as we take these words that You'll convict our hearts, bring us closer to You. And as always, if there's one here that's not saved, that tonight will be their night. We ask this in Jesus' name. And will Mary